Blog Talk Radio.
It is March 4th, 2021. This is the 415. My name is Raina Starr. With me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Star Bustamante. The 415 is brought to you by Desperate House Witches and The Wild Hunt. Please visit wildhunt.org. Give them all your support. For less than a venti cup of coffee somewhere, you could be supporting the Wild Hunt every day. I'm just saying. It's the pagan paper of record. Also, please note that on the 415, the opinions given are our own and are not reflective of the opinions of anyone at the Wild Hunt or any of its subsidiaries. Thank you so much. So, Star, it's been quite a month, hasn't it?
Well,
we are now in... Yeah, it kind of has been. It's been interesting. Apparently, Texas had a little bit of bad weather, I heard.
You think?
A little bit. I heard they had like something along the lines of something they hadn't had in centuries or in a really long time. So apparently, during this horrific weather event, because apparently they're now called events, their senator, Ted Cruz, decided he was going to go on vacation. Wouldn't it be nice if he could have taken all his constituents with him? What the hell?
Well, it remains to be seen how much of an impact this is going to have. I mean, you know, we just came out of 4 years of a sitting president who did all kinds of horrible things and seemingly got away with it. So far. Whether or not Cruz will pay for this at the ballot box, you know, remains to be seen. But yeah, it was pretty stunning. And the fact that he lied about, you know, that he was just taking his daughters and then was coming back when he clearly his, you know, the flight that was booked. And my favorite are the text messages that their neighbors shared with the New York Times.
Oops, they're not well loved in that neighborhood, are they? Not Mr. nor Mrs. Cruz, apparently.
Apparently not. You know, and plus the fact that, you know, here they, I mean, it looked, the optics looked really terrible because here they are, here's Texas in one of the worst weather crisis situations, people without heat, people without water for days and days and days. And Cruz hops on a plane to Cancun. Yeah, and I think the thing that really pushed people over the edge was the dog. the dog, whose name I might add, is Snowflake. I don't know if you saw, but there was one picture of the dog that was circulating where it's like standing at the front door. Like one of those doors that have glass on either side, and the little dog is standing there staring out. And people were just like outraged that he went off and left his poor little dog at home, you know, as in addition to all of his constituents who were busy freezing to death and having no water and all other kinds of fun things. But which, as it turns out, for those of you who are listening, the little dog did have someone who was taking care of it, unlike the rest of the people in the state.
Exactly. The dog was getting better care than the constituents. And it's my understanding, because I actually have friends in Texas, that
There are still people without drinking water. Okay, we're talking a couple of weeks already. This is absurd. We can't get water to people? Come on.
Well, you know, if you have to think about what would happen if the entire power grid went down, which is virtually what happened. You know, I mean, not everyone lost power and not everyone lost water, but large swaths of Texas had, you know, I mean, like one power grid went down and basically, you know, took them all down because demand. But then imagine some of these people who got bills for tens of thousands of dollars in some case. There was one guy that was, and this was all over the news, of getting a bill for, you know, like $17,000. Imagine getting a water bill for $17,000. You know.
No.
And Ted Cruz is having a vacation. You know, he took the family and went to Cancun because they were tired of being cold. You know. Yeah, it looks
really
bad.
Which his wife made quite the big deal of in her tweet about, it's freezing in our house. Come join us. Really, who is supposed to be coming to join you? Who has the kind of money where they can just pick everything up in Texas and go be with them? And, you know, here's the sad thing for her. The fact of the matter is that she got ratted out by one of the people she sent the damn thing to in the first place. I mean, come on. Oh, I also forgot to do the disclaimer that some of the language might be harsh on this show. There, now you know. So, yeah, this crazy-ass bitch is friggin' sending out tweets to her neighbors that everyone should come and join her. I mean, really? Talk about out of the loop, out of touch, completely not feeling the pain of your constituents. You are there to serve the people. Yes, you're not the senator, but you're his wife. One of you needs to have a clue. One of you should be thinking about his job. But you know what? It just seems like that demographic, you know, the hard-nosed Republican demographic that exists in places like Texas, they're also forgiving of this kind of thing. So I want to encourage folks, even now, do your midterm elections. Please do not neglect them. That's how people like Ted Cruz get to maintain power, because they're not being challenged at the ballot box unless it's a presidential election. Please do not wait for presidential elections. All politics are local. All elections are important. Please remember that. In additional news, oh my God, guess who decided to reemerge onto the political scene? It had been so peaceful without him. Donald Trump made a reappearance or a reemergence from his lagoon and decided to go speak at CPAC. I'm horrified that I had to look at him again. I was really hoping he would go away and stay away, but no, not my kind of luck. They are still pushing this insane narrative. You know, even at CPAC, they're still pushing this insane narrative that somehow the election was stolen. The election was not stolen. This was one of the most carefully watched free and fair elections in history. The experts will tell you that. The people at the polling places will tell you that. The governors will tell you that. We've heard it just about from everyone we could hear it from. And, you know, we're fighting for reality, and it's frightening that we are fighting for reality in this day and age. You know, it's 2021. We have done remarkable things as Americans. But reality is still a problem. What the ever-loving?
Well, I read an article this morning, actually the outline of an article that was came out of the UK saying that basically what is happening with all of these Q conspiracies and this disconnection from reality is that it's more likely that people that are that have an evangelical kind of base or understanding are more likely to believe these things. And the article put it in line with basically, you know, kind of a Taliban type of of mentality. And that how dangerous that really is, because there is no you know, this allows them to justify their behavior, and that there's no there's no reasoning with these people. People who believe that and it's grounded in whatever their faith or belief system is, that there's you know, I mean, there's really no, there's no getting, they're not going to change their minds. They're not going to see it because they feel justified. They feel like their God wants them to do whatever. So that's pretty alarming. You know, and I think that there's a renewed push to try and, you know, tamp down on a lot of this dis and misinformation that is being, you know, just, I mean, it's everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, to some extent, all of these platforms are cracking down, but it's really not enough. So it'll be really interesting, but it was really striking to, I listened to as much of Trump's speech, if, and I think calling it a speech is generous.
Generous.
It was like the, you know, it was like his greatest hits from the campaign trail of all of it live. I don't know that he said anything that was factual at all. You know, it was just a long, rambling word salad of his usual bullshit, all lies, but that each speaker continued to proliferate what is now being called the big lie is just really stunning. And then, of course, you have the whole thing with the stage.
Let's get into the stagecraft. That's pretty friggin' stunning too, because I didn't really know anything about this until you hit me to this information. So apparently, there Nazi symbols were used. I mean, excuse me, what?
Well, so like, and I want to make a point to really differentiate between, there is a rune that is called the Othala or Othala rune. It's the one that looks like kind of like it's like a diamond with a tail on it. And it represents heritage and family, and that is, and while that is, so basically the symbol that they used is kind of that, but it has like feet or what they call serifs, I think is the correct pronunciation, on the ends of it. And there's no real, historically speaking, there's no real, basis of this having, of this ever being connected to, heathens or Nordic culture. A respected scholar who studied in Nordic studies, basically said that there's no evidence of this ever having been used outside of the, when the Nazis decided to use it, going back to the, you know, 1930s. So, and that was the design of the stage. And then of course there's been an onslaught of people saying, wow, it was just a design. It certainly wasn't intentional, blah, blah, blah. You know, whether it
was, have
you
heard these people speak? I'm sorry. You can't get away from it, you know.
Well, but the real point here is that, and since then, you know, the American Conservative Union, which is the group that that puts on CPAC, has issued a statement. The Hyatt Hotel has issued a statement. All kind of expressing horror and you know, and how they certainly are not anti-Semitic, whatever. But here's the reality. for an event of this size, the designs for the stage would have been submitted months and months before the event. And
right.
many, you know, probably dozens of people would have looked at the design, and somebody had to have selected that design and chosen it. Whether the hotel was aware or not, you know, is neither here nor there. You know, I mean, anybody that's allowing the, you know, CPAC to take place in their space has to know a little bit about CPAC. I don't know how you could have missed the shape of this. Plus, it wasn't even a functional stage in the sense that the design of it, I mean, it had, you know, where this diamond, because they kind of flipped it around, so you have a diamond with these, you know, the two of the legs extend, and then it has these little kind of wings on it, which creates kind of a triangle in the back. You know, I mean, you really don't want a stage with holes in it. I mean, stages even that involve stairs are problematic. You kind of want to stay away from that. You sure shit don't want a stage with a hole in it that somebody could fall into. But I mean, yeah, it wasn't even a good functional design. So they don't even really have that argument. I mean, whether it was intentional, whether it wasn't intentional, they were sending a message to anyone, or whether they just said, "Hey, this will really fire up the libs," you know, is impossible. We will never know the answer to that. But the optics of it were fucking horrible. I mean, I was shocked when I saw that first tweet about the stage. I was like, "Holy shit! Oh my god! Wow! Really? Okay." I don't know where they go from here, honestly, on that one. I was just like, holy, holy, holy.
I just think that the continuous push to get people to accept certain things as the new normal, you know, with constant lies, with constant beratement, with constant, you know, coming at people with information at all sides consistently, constant shock, and it's like how you get someone accustomed to being continuously hit with a paddle. You know, you hit them, you hit them, you hit them. It's like constant beating, so that any let up of any kind is like, oh, okay, let's stop now. It's great. Everything's great. But you get used to being hit. You know, it's kind of like, it's some kind of a weird emotional abuse that allows this to keep happening. I don't know if it's a kind of Stockholm syndrome. I don't know if it's a kind of other type of brainwashing that's being employed, where they constantly hit us with things that would normally shock and horrify us. And now it's like, if it has to do with certain people, we're like, oh, yeah, well, that's what we expect out of this particular type of person. And I think that's a dangerous thing, you know, because we are seeing a constant influx of racism and a constant influx of hatred and anti-Semitic behavior and just all these things over and over again. I mean, the Capitol, the assault on the Capitol, the insurrection, I didn't think I was ever going to see that in my lifetime, thank you. It was not on my 2021 bingo card. I mean, I would have expected it more last year, but okay. Just these things, you know, you bombard people with shocking things and they start to desensitize. And I think that's what's happening, and I think it's very frightening. What do you think?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I was shocked, so I still have the ability to be shocked. I do think that one of the side effects of the pandemic is that, you know, it has made us numb in a number of ways. I mean, over 500,000 people are dead. 500,000. That's a lot of people. I think that the early bans on having the media really report in depth like they normally would on the pandemic, we missed the personal stories and the pain, because they're just, I mean, media crews were simply not allowed into a lot of hospitals, places like New York, we saw some places in California, but overall there was not, I don't think that people grasped, it was far away, it was distant when it started, and people need that context. They need context for stories in order to understand the impact. And so I think that it's hard to wrap your brain around what 500,000 dead people look like. And it's hard to see the impact, but I think now people are getting it. And so I think that, because now we all know someone who's died from COVID-19, or who almost died, So I think that the more events like what happened at CPAC, I mean, and granted, I mean, they're large. If I didn't need to have paid attention to what was going on, I certainly would not have watched it at all. And I largely didn't, because I can go on Twitter and see the rundown from people that I trust. So I didn't need to be watching that shit, Thank God for Aaron
doubt,
Rupar,
no
right? I can just follow Aaron Rupar and Jake Tapper and other journalists that I trust to, they're getting paid, a good living watch that shit, listen to these morons talk, and then say, okay, here's what they said, so that I don't have to. And so, I mean, but I think that when you have something, the stage was a flashpoint, and it's kind of a good thing because it woke a lot of people. It brought people's attention back to, oh, my God, well, this, is this really a Nazi symbol or not? We don't know, but we don't like it. So I don't think that – I don't see that as necessarily a bad thing. Of course, it was really interesting to watch all the Nazi apologists and, conservative explainers of how ridiculous it was that the people were saying this was a Nazi symbol, or that it, that it had some magical purpose or whatever. Either way, it was there. It made a splash, and it has brought more negative attention to conservatives. So I can't say I feel bad about that at all.
here's the interesting thing to me. You don't get to use magical symbols, pagan symbols, whatever kind of symbols, and then suddenly try to disassociate yourself. It's like you don't get to cherry pick that shit. It is what it is. The symbol is the symbol is the symbol.
If they want to use the Nazi symbol, I mean, I think that's highly appropriate. It certainly reflects much of their, when you have a party that's made up of members like Ted Cruz, who's willing to go out, abandon his constituents and go on vacation in the middle of a deadly crisis. In the middle, let's not forget, there still is an ongoing pandemic, but woohoo, let's go to Mexico for some tacos and margaritas. There's a level of complete lack social awareness, there's no empathy.
It's tone deaf. Yeah, it's tone deaf. Completely tone deaf and stupid.
If the conservatives want to use Nazi symbols, I think they should. I think they should. I think it'll really help to firm up their position for a lot of folks. a lot of the heathen, the alphabet, which is the Elder Futhar, I think is what it's called, where the runes are derived from, have been co-opted by white supremacists. I don't know what the heathens can do about that at this point. But that's definitely a thing. And I think that, the moron with the buffalo head, you know, horns that friggin' Thor's hammer, you know, a giant one tattooed on his torso, you know, and said that he prescribed to Native American values, which of course the Native Americans think that's just friggin' hilarious. Native Americans have been dealing with the appropriation of their spiritual practices and symbols for, you know,
ever.
Hundreds of years. So anyway, I got nothing.
Unbelievable.
I got nothing.
So we're still dealing with the aftermath of the attempted overthrow of the government, the insurrection. We're still dealing with that. There's, you know, we're hopefully going to get some kind of answers. They keep having people come in and testify. I'm sorry.
There was some interesting testimony yesterday the last 2 days there has been some interesting testimony on that. I mean, from what it sounds like, that they requested help. And they didn't get it. They, you know, I mean, and not only that, but said because the optics were bad, you know, that they couldn't move the guard. Every time they moved the guard, if they had them on traffic detail, if they wanted to move them just up a block, that they had to get permission from the Secretary of Defense to do so because they were concerned about how it might look. And, that's pretty stunning when considering last summer that they were just openly, you know, beating the crap out of people in the streets, both in the Capitol and other places, you know. In Portland, there are, like, rumors of them, like, unmarked law enforcement snatching people off the street. So, really worried about the optics on that. I think it's going to be really interesting what comes out. The testimony, I mean, and you can, anything that, anybody who's interested in knowing more about this, if you're not, if you don't already have a source, all of it is being, I mean, I'm sure C-SPAN and all of the major media outlets, except Fox. I don't know if Fox is covering it at all. they're outraged over Dr. Seuss still. Who knows if Fox will cover whether or not, you know, anybody did anything wrong within the whole government. But certainly they're outraged over Mr. Potato Head and the Dr. Seuss books. Who knows?
I was shocked. Okay, so, you know, and I didn't hear what you were saying because I had to call back in because I had a little technical difficulty, so I apologize. But the whole Dr. Seuss thing, I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you have to put things away. Sometimes you have to just...
It was own organization. I mean, it wasn't like an angry mob showed up on their doorstep and said, "You need to pull these books." They made the decision themselves because they felt that some of the images and artwork and context not only being outdated, but it portrayed the wrong thing, that they didn't feel like it was a good thing. So that they made the decision, and it's not like the government told them to or anybody told them to. They made this decision on their own. The books that are really the books that are really impactful, like The Lorax, can still get those books. They only pulled 6 of the books. It's ridiculous. I mean, they're their books. They can pull them if they fucking want to. Jesus Christ, you know?
Yeah, it's their property. They're allowed to. They hold the estate, and if you hold the estate, you get to make those decisions. And you know what? I think the problem is that people want to be outraged. I think the problem is that people made an assumption about who pulled them or who said it was a problem. And I really think, you know, if you trust people, sometimes they'll do the right thing. People are capable of doing the right thing. And I think, you know, listen, they felt a certain kind of way. It's their property. You're allowed to do what you want with your property. I'm here for it. I'm just saying. There's not a problem with that. All right, so we have addressed. Let's check off what we have. Let's review what we've talked about so far, kids. All right, we have talked about Ted Cruz. We have talked about Dr. Seuss. We have talked about CPAC and Trump's reemergence. We have talked about the interesting shape of the stage. Let me also note who was not at CPAC. Ben Sasse was not at CPAC. Mitt Romney was not at CPAC. Liz Cheney was not at CPAC. This is the Conservative Political Action Committee, for those who don't know the acronym. And the gentleman, his last name is Kinzinger. I don't know who his first name. I don't remember.
I think
but
it's
anyway.
Adam.
Adam Kinzinger. Thank you. Good on the four of you for not buying into this bullshit. Matt Schlapp can kiss my butt.
There were a number of people that normally would be at a conservative thing and that were not, that were absent. So.
Oh, okay. Well, there were additional people, but I noticed the most notable ones. Oh, by the way, Mike Pence, not at CPAC. How do you like that? The VP. So, okay. So I'm having a little bit of Mitch McConnell whiplash, I have to admit. Before we get into that, let's just remind folks, please check out The Wild Hunt. The Wild Hunt is the pagan paper of record. Please go to wildhunt.org. Give them all your support because we need real news, and we actually get it from The Wild Hunt. There's a lot of fake news out there, as you've been told and as you've heard. Wild Hunt does not promote fake news. There you go. We must support our people. Okay, so, lovely. Mitch McConnell and my whiplash. Let's just talk about this for a second. So Mitch McConnell decided not to convict Trump. You remember the whole big thing about Trump and the riot, and he was being blamed, and they decided not to blame him, not to make the impeachment, not to turn the impeachment, the second impeachment, into a conviction. All right, fine, whatever. Then he then after he votes to let it go, he gives this huge speech about how Donald Trump is absolutely guilty and should be prosecuted in some respect for this action. However, he then turns around again the other day and says, well, if Donald Trump runs in 2024, I'm going to support him. Excuse me, sir. Which person today? Because I'm not keeping up.
Didn't he say that if he got the nomination that he would support him?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, right, that's different than...
I don't get
that's
it.
That's different. That's different, though, than saying that that if he runs, he'll support him. I mean, I think McConnell has lost power. You know, he no longer rules the Senate like he did. And I think that's just typical friggin' waffling. It's typical waffling on his part.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's waffling, but I'm sorry. You know, 9 out of 10 Republicans agree that if Trump were to run again, he would probably get the nomination. I can't even imagine who could wrest it away from his death grip. Truly. I can't even imagine who might be able to get this thing out from under him. I would like that to not be the case. However, from what I can see of the reality of the situation, he would get it if he ran. Now, the problem is he going to run? Is he going to be around long enough to run only because of his age and his – I'm sorry, he's in poor health. If you ask me, that man is not exactly taking care of himself. nor is he following any kind of regimen to put his body in any kind of shape that could be considered good.
Well, and just in the last day or so, because mm-hmm. I forget who they were complaining about, somebody that one of the Republicans who broke ranks, and might have been Cheney, might have been somebody else, but that might have been Murkowski. I think it was Murkowski, and she was in Alaska, I think. That he would challenge her, but it was just too far to travel. So not only is, you know, I mean, so that's a pretty lazy statement in and of itself. But I thought that was kind of interesting that he couldn't be bothered to, you know, that was too far. He just couldn't go that far. I personally think that, you know, a lot can happen in 4 years.
True.
As we've seen in the past. So I think that, you know, before I start worrying about what is going to come next, I'm going to wait and see what happens over the course of the next, you know, couple of years. But I just think that I do not feel like there's any possibility that he will be in any shape or place to run for office in 2024. I just don't see it.
All right, but what about this? What about the fact that the Republicans are now trying to redistrict everything and basically disenfranchise anyone who might vote Democratically who is not white and well-heeled? I mean, let's face it. They are trying to put all kinds of insane limits. This is this week, folks. This is happening right now in anticipation of future elections, where the Republican Party is trying to make sure that if you need early voting, if you need polls to be open to a certain time, all of these things that we now take for granted are even being more eroded by the Republican Party. They are trying to make sure that this that just happened to them, where they lost, does not happen again. And they are using every trick in the book to try to make sure that they can get power back where they've lost it. I can't even keep up with what's going on. There's just so much whiplash for me, you know, with them trying to just, it's all about their power. They don't give a shit about taking care of the people. My idea was that government was supposed to be taking care of things like roads and health care and, you know, the basic necessities of people and making sure nobody gets left behind and making sure that, you know, we take care of our elderly and our homeless and our children who may not have a lot of, you know, whose parents may not have the greatest of incomes. I thought the whole point was that we were supposed to keep things running and be a happy, safe society. I guess my ideas about all of that are just not real. That's how it feels.
Well, I mean, let's be clear here that, I mean, the government has been often pretty sporadic in how it manages care on a number of fronts.
True.
You know, I mean, ideally, yes, the whole idea is that the reason that you have government is to deal with the really big issues and problems. You know, if we all had to individually pay, for, you know, like say fire service. Okay.
Right.
We couldn't individually afford that. Which is why you have government to provide services that otherwise it would be hard to have those services. But I mean, I think we've moved further and further away from the, you know, the ideals that have, you know, that are often talked about but really are not well represented within government, whether we're talking at the local level, the county level, the state level, and at the federal level. So on one hand, I kind of, you know, when you said that, I was like, wah!
I could see you laughing.
And on the other hand, I mean, I think that it's important to really kind of hold on to those ideals, because they're not far-fetched. They're definitely something that, you know, we can continue to aim for and work towards. But I mean, look at history, you know, and especially, you know, if you're a black or brown person, and or a woman, you know, let's not leave our little selves out of this, of any color, then, you know, it pretty much sucks. And the government has demonstrated over and over again that, you know, it seems like we get two steps forward and then it's three steps back, and we're definitely three steps back here. I mean, I think that no matter what they do, I don't care how many laws they pass, it's not going to be enough to keep people from voting. I mean, people in the state of Georgia, now I just want to remind you that within the state of Georgia, they elected two Democrats to the Senate, which is what swung, you know, so now we have an evenly split Senate with Kamala Harris as the decider. But the state of Georgia, which has been a pretty traditionally red state,
indeed,
over the last,
it has changed. But it's a tenuous change, isn't it? I mean, people have to be on guard about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know. Well, let me ask you this: when you have a baby, how long does that tenuousness last? oh my God! You know, is it still breathing? You know, is everything right with this? I mean, you don't ever, you have to treat democracy like you would, you know, both a newborn and a toddler and, you know, a child and a young adult, right? It requires constant tending.
So true. It does. It really does.
But the fact remains of this, okay? The people of Georgia stood in line in some places for fucking 12 hours to vote.
Yeah.
And they did it. They did it in the rain. They did it in good weather, bad weather, whatever, but they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we all have to be prepared to do that. You know, I mean, if you do not want people like Ted Cruz and, you know, some of these other insane people that have somehow, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, shitty Madison Cawthorn, who is our representative or my representative. I don't know if he's your representative or not. I don't think you're in his district.
No.
You know, if we don't want people like that to represent us, then we've got to vote. And not only do we have to vote, but we have to encourage every friggin' person that we know to vote. You know, we have to organize getting people to the polls. You know, if they change the laws and you can't do early voting, then I guess we're all going to be really fucking busy on election day, making sure that we get people to the polls. So is it tenuous? Yes. But I don't think it's any more tenuous than when you have something that you care about that you're in the process of raising, you know. Whether we're talking about, you know, furry children, you know, human children, our elderly, you know, all of those things are, you know, life itself is very tenuous. So, yes. So is it tenuous?
True.
Of course it is. But I think that what you're going to see is a real doubling down. You know, they can try and cut people off or whatever. But what they are going to end up with is that just a harder resolve from the people that they don't want to vote. I don't think they're going to give up. They've come.
Yeah.
They've already. They have tasted victory, and they like it. You know, and taking Stacey Abrams out is not going to change it, because there are. She's training people. You know, as she's going.
Yep.
And yeah, so yeah.
She sure is. She's amazing. We are so fortunate to have a powerhouse like Stacey Abrams, you know, out there and encouraging people and teaching them and working the ropes. I mean, she needs to go everywhere and talk to everyone. So we've covered that. Vaccinations. Let's talk a little bit about that. By the way, Trump and Melania, it was not reported, but they got the COVID shots. Guess what? As much as they didn't want to talk about it, they kept it quiet. They didn't want you to know that they got their shots. Yeah, what a surprise not. But what I want to impress upon folks is please get online. Please make sure you know when it's your turn. Please go get the shot. It is safe. Honest and truly, you know, everyone that I know personally who has had the shot has said either they had no ill effects or the side effects were extremely minor. I can't wait to get mine. They're in groups 1, 2, and 3 right now. If you're immunocompromised, if you are over the age of 55, I believe, you will be in group 4 or group 5. Because I'm immunocompromised, I'm in group 5. So that's group 4, rather. So please keep mindful of not only that, not only when it's your turn to get your shot, but also that you are not immediately immune or unable to pass the virus. Please remember that you have to keep your masks on. You still have to social distance. You have to do all of the things that we're currently doing. Speaking of things that are currently being done, 4 states have dropped their mandate.
First, I want to just clarify that what Raina just stated is for North Carolina. Each state has different guidelines that are all, yeah. They're all loosely based on what the CDC recommends, but I think they can all be a little different. So you definitely want to check with your state. You know, if you go onto your state's health department website. And also, even if you have good capabilities when it comes to being on the internet, not everybody in your community does. So if there is somebody that you know that lives in maybe your apartment building or in your community that is not particularly internet savvy, and you have a little time to spare, you might want to touch base with them and see if they need help making an appointment. I know that, you know, there's a lot of government outreach going on to try and get people in communities. There's been some just pretty bad stuff as far as the people who are the most vulnerable. You know, like in California, mm-hmm. they even gave out codes to people in these neighborhoods that are where people, you know, lower income, most at risk populations live, mm-hmm. and still they had, you know, people that managed to jump ahead and take the spot that had been set aside for others. So if you have the time and the inclination, if you want to do some community service, that's certainly one way that you can do it. I want to talk about the vaccines for a little bit here.
Yes.
So the Johnson & Johnson vaccine was just approved for emergency use last week. As a result of that, there's some pretty stunning news around that. First of all, that I think Merck is going to work with Johnson & Johnson to produce so they can up the number of vaccines. And the prediction now is that by the end of May, everyone who wants a vaccine can get one. Now, there's also been a couple of things around this vaccine that that have, I mean, I know I have such a sunny disposition and you'll find this shocking, but that really angered me. One is that apparently in the U.S. there are some Catholic archbishops that are that have said that, you know, people might, you know, if that's the only one that they can get, well, fine, but that it would be better to get one of the other ones because stem cells were used in the creation of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I don't even know if that's true or not. I haven't had a chance to look into it. That just popped up on my radar this morning. You know,
wow.
I have, obviously, I have no issues there. But then there's also been kind of this thing circulating a little bit within the Black community. I'm not sure how prevalent this is either, but that they felt like, you know, because it wasn't, it seemed to have a lower efficacy rate of, you know, completely preventing the, you know, mm-hmm. Symptoms of the virus, that it wasn't as good and this was going to be pushed off on them. I think that there is a really good chance that actually the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is going to be superior, and here's why. And they actually did trials with the South African variant. And so first I want to explain. There are like three variants that have been talked a lot in the press. You need to understand there are like probably hundreds of variants of this virus at this point. The reason that the one from South Africa, from Brazil, and from the UK are getting so much press and are talked about is because they have changed the virus in a way that makes it easier to spread and possibly more deadly, although they don't really know that. But
right.
The Johnson & Johnson vaccine has proven, you know, to be effective against the South African variant, and I think maybe the UK variant. But I think that that's what we're gonna find is that it's actually more effective in that regard. But regardless, if you have a chance to get a fucking vaccine, get a fucking vaccine. I don't care which one it is. Get a fucking vaccine. Do it. You know, if you have the chance. A lot of places, when they're done for the day and they have if they have vaccines left over because people didn't show up or whatever, they often will put out a call on social media and say, hey, if you can get here in 20 minutes, you can get vaccinated today. You know,
that's
so
right.
If you're really looking to get vaccinated, and I mean, and that's open to anyone. You don't have to be within any of the – it's like if anyone is available and can come get this, come get it. So but I think that by the time we get to, you know, the end of April, I think we're going to see a big difference. But, yeah, we still need to be on our guard. We need to be wearing a fucking mask. I know it's unpleasant. I wear two every day that I work with the public. Two.
Yep.
I wear two masks,
yep.
Okay?
Two.
I'm looking for the day where I can just wear one, okay? Everybody needs to be wearing their goddamn mask, you know? It's not that big of a deal. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Okay.
Wear
I'm
the
done.
Mask. Put the fucking mask on. Social distance. Come on. You know you're supposed to be doing it. I am really sorry to the states who have been told that they don't have to wear their masks. Please do not listen to your governors. Your governors are making a political move that can cost you your life. It's not a joke. I am deadly serious. Your mayors will tell you not to listen to your governors. There is a reason why. It's not because people want you to be miserable. It's because some people want you to stay alive. Okay, so speaking of the vaccination, we would like to tell you a little bit about the decision to not have Mystic South this year. Star.
Woohoo! Yeah, so we officially announced that we are not going to do Mystic South this year. You know, there's no guarantee, even though, like, right now the government is saying there will be vaccines for everybody by the end of May, there's no real guarantee that is going to be the case. In fact, I expect with some of these states that have opened back up, we're probably going to see another surge. overall,
yep.
states have been loosening up their restrictions. But the bottom line is, you know, not only that, it's not just the safety. Mystic South will not be, we don't want to be responsible for even one person getting sick, and certainly
Absolutely.
Not anyone dying. We've said from the beginning that we would not be a vector event, and we are sticking to that. You know, and then you have financial concerns. I mean, we would have to be sure to meet our agreement with the hotel. So there were a lot of factors that that weighed into all of that. But the primary one
sure.
was, you know, the health and safety of, you know, our attendees, our staff, our presenters, our vendors.
Yep.
Without a, you know, a guarantee of, I mean, if we knew for sure that everybody would have been vaccinated by, you know, by the even the end of June, we would have gone ahead. But there's no way. In fact, when we made the decision, the news about everyone being vaccinated by the end of May had not yet been made. So, but there
right.
we are. And we will be
but
on
that,
again
you know
in
what?
2022.
2022 with a vengeance, y'all. I have to say that was a thoughtful and well thought out decision. I know a lot of folks are figuring, well, everything's okay now. It's not okay yet. Until folks have the shot in the arm, and for some folks, the second shot in the arm, we didn't want, you know, the folks at Mystic South didn't want to play Russian roulette with our lives. We appreciate that. So we're sad about it, but, you know, it's for our own good, and I'm okay with that. Fast hour.
Well, and yeah. I want to say one more thing, okay? So even once the majority of, we need 70 people to be back, 70% of everyone in the U.S. to be vaccinated before we hit herd immunity, okay? Even once we hit that, we're probably still going to be wearing masks for a little bit longer. So just because you get vaccinated doesn't mean you can take your mask off. You always have to think about, you know, the impact on other people. You know, I think we're probably going to be we're going to be wearing masks for a while yet. You know, if you're in a group of people that have all been vaccinated, then and it's in, you know, small gatherings, whatever. I mean, I think it's fine. But going any place where you're around people that you don't, you know, that you don't know whether they, you need to be wearing a freaking mask. You know, I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah. That is true. And on that note, everybody, please go support the Wild Hunt. Check out wildhunt.org. Give them all your support. It's the pagan paper of record. And we are about out of time. So for Star Bustamante and myself, I am Raina Starr. This was the 415, and we will see y'all next month. Have a good one, everybody.
Ciao, baby.
There you go.